Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
We're live.
We're live. We made it.
We made it, despite some of us not feeling great. But we're here.
Oh, I feel fabulous.
As you can hear, it's that time of year.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta love it.
It is. It is. It's the gift that keeps giving. You know, the kids just give you all the love and everything else. And could be that, or it could just be the seasons changing.
Yeah, it's getting cooler finally. I mean, it was in the 80s up until just a few days ago. So we're now, and even till today was like 67, almost 70. I mean, it don't know what it wants to do.
No, but you know what? I'm not against it. I am completely happy that this weather doesn't know what it wants to do.
I'm grateful it's not snowing yet, but it's coming.
Speaking of snow, you're like, oh gosh, no. I read one of those weather forecast things,
yeah,
and it says that we're supposed to have like a really heavy snow season this winter.
I'll take the
perfect
snow with no cold. I don't like to be cold. Like, I don't mind being cool.
I don't like cold.
And like cozy and warm in the house. We got a fireplace, but I don't want to like go outside in the frigid, air hurts my face kind of thing.
Yeah, no. I don't like when it's cold like that, because then you're like, ugh. It's not fun.
Straight up. But we're here for episode 4 of season 2.
Woohoo!
And we're going to be exploring the end of the year and like what books are coming out, because we got to figure out what's on our radar. And there are quite a few coming out in October, November. December, not so much, but that's pretty normal.
You know, I didn't ever realize, you know, when you actually sit down to see like when the books actually come out, and it looks like October is a big banger for books to come out.
You get a lot of, at least in our territory, you get a lot of mysteries, thrillers, horror, dark books, mm-hmm. and they really just jam them in that September, October. November.
Yeah.
You start to get some holiday releases for like the cute Hallmarky romance books, but that ain't us. So
definitely not.
We don't have a whole lot, but December is like, they kind of just quiet it down, because January and February are just so heavy on book releases. So we'll have to do a future episode that talks about 2026, because I remember.
Oh, that's going to be exciting.
Our episode last year for 2025, which was crazy. And I think I got to most of those. We should revisit the books that were on that list and see what we got to.
I totally think we should. I don't even know. Did I read the books that I put on there? Probably the ones still on my TBR to this day.
I talked about two books that I know I got to, because one of them was a book club pick, because I was looking forward to that B.E. Schwab so much. And yeah, we see how that went.
A masterpiece.
Then there was another one on there, and I just can't remember. But I definitely had some books on the list, and I think I got to most of them. So I can't wait to look into that.
Well, that's going to be a fun one. Maybe we'll do that like December-ish or something. Just like,
for
that
sure.
would be kind of cool. I do like that for an idea.
Yes, pen it down or we'll forget.
Right? Here, I'm going to do that now.
But we're going to just go month by month, and we're going to give you some release dates, give you a little synopsis on what the book is. Like, some of these are books that are continuing in series that we've explored. Some of them are brand new releases, standalones, or beginnings to new series. So we're just going to talk about them, keep them on your radar. Let us know if you have interest in reading them. Put it in the comments below. And yeah. I guess we're going to get right into it.
Absolutely. Let's go right in. I think you got the first one, don't you?
I do. I have, I'm going to pull the weight here because Miss Sicky over here is all congested.
I
mean,
I don't want to tell anybody, you know, to listen to me and I sound like ick.
I also just.
Can we lose subscribers?
No. Speaking of which, shout out to everybody on here. 65 subscribers already. Doesn't sound like a lot to you, but it's a lot to us.
That is exciting.
It is. It's really cool.
We were just talking, yesterday? You said we were at 50. Wow.
Yep. 65.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, everybody. This is exciting.
And then on Spotify, our first season contributed so much, but we just broke the 100 downloads and streams.
You're kidding.
I posted it on Facebook. I tagged you in it. So we just broke it today.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Humble beginnings and many, many more to come. I can't wait to say 100,000 one day, but
we
might be 90 years old.
I'm not going to shed any tears. We're good.
Good.
You know, I'm the emotional one. So, you know, I'm going to keep going.
Not when it comes to books.
No tears.
Yeah.
I'm broken when it comes to books. Great books, though, but no.
Oh,
I'm not
gosh.
The one that you'll find crying over the books and boohooing with the screwed up face. I just can't do it.
You're hilarious. All right, let's get into it. October.
Let's go.
Here we go. We're in October. We're currently filming on Monday the 13th, not Friday the 13th, but
yes.
I did want to call to mind a book that came out last week, and I was supposed to review it early, but I didn't finish it because I have priorities for other ones, but Mockingbird Court by Juno Black, which is the incredible sixth book in this little murder mystery, cozy murder mystery series. This is the sixth installment. It's set in this little town called Shady Hollow, and it's full of these woodland creatures, foxes, and there's a polar bear, and there's raccoon, and these ravens, and these chipmunks. It's so cute. It's like Zootopia, but small town.
Okay.
And they all just go about their day like everybody else. Vera, our main character, is a reporter at the local newspaper, and she gets wrapped up in a murder every single book. And she inadvertently ends up trying to help and solve the murder. And this one is exciting because we have some characters returning from previous books, because Bradley Marvel, who's an author, a wolf in this book, he is back because he is being framed, so he says, for murder. And so he's asking Vera to help him solve it and clear his name. I'm already about 30% of the way through it when I had to stop to do another book, but they're the kind of books that there's no audio. I always just read them with my eyes. They're only like 200 pages. They're cute and they're fun. And surprisingly, the mysteries kind of get me. I don't get every little detail. You know, they're not like, they're very formulaic, but I don't get every single detail, so sometimes I end up a little shocked at the end. I like the books. They're so fun.
No, I have to say that I didn't read one that had a murder mystery to it, but I did recently just finish, like within days, The Autumn Leaf Bookshop, and it has those different characters in it, and there was no audio. I don't even think I would want to read that book by audio because it was just so much fun. Now, this was a romance, a small town romance. You know, me and romance, I'm like, I don't know. But no, this book was so good. I ate it up. I loved it. And it's just something about those characters, like the different things and the fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good read. I like cozy fantasy. I will go with that one.
I'm going to have to get Emily to send you the book she just finished because it was a cozy fall. It's like an orange cover, leaves all over it, romance. And Emily ended up, she started it because she was like, I don't know what book to start. So she started the first chapter, and then it was the second chapter, and then the fifth chapter. And that night, she finished all but maybe 60, 70 pages. So she finished the book within 24 hours. She really enjoyed it.
Must have been really good. Yeah,
she didn't give it five stars or anything like that, but she did really enjoy it.
Yeah, you'll have to send that one to me so I can check it out, because I was just like, it was new for me. I've never actually just read, you know, like a cozy fantasy like that with the different characters. And we've talked about it before because you've read, you know, some different ones, but that was a new one for me. And I loved every bit of it.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to go into the next book, which is the next release date, which is tomorrow, October 14th. So when you're watching this episode, it's already been out for a couple days, but maybe by then you can use this to rush to the bookstore or the library and pick up your copy. But I will go ahead and kick it off with a book that I'm super excited about. So excited that Book of the Month probably had the best selection of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I bought 3 of the 5 books this month, including this one.
I had a feeling that was going to happen too.
I'm a sucker. In October, they do lots of thrillers and things. And this is actually an interesting one because the cover got me more than anything. The author's name piques my interest because they've written YA in the past. And so I'm excited to have some adult fantasy. And the tagline, for Red City by Marie Lu is The Godfather Meets the Magicians. I'm like, what?
That does sound like it would be good. So I don't know. Maybe that needs to be our book club pick.
Magic. I like it. Magic and mafia. I mean, that sounds really
that
cool.
That sounds good.
Yeah. It's a dark contemporary fantasy with magical warfare, star-crossed ambition. And it sounds like it's going to be like dark and gritty. You know how that urban kind of fantasy is, and probably going to have a little romance, but I'm just super excited. And I did pay the $2 for the sprayed edges, which actually they're not very good.
Well, then why would I pay $2 for it if it's not very good?
I love this red. Like, I don't even think it's picking up.
That is pretty.
It's really nice red, but I don't even get like a special cover or anything. Like, a little disappointed I paid the $2, but I'm hoping I enjoy the book.
Okay. Maybe that'll be our book club pick for November, you know,
November, December, something like that.
We're doing Poppy War. Never mind. Poppy War is November.
It can go on the poll. We are letting the people decide.
Poppy War.
Though they betrayed me this month as well, because I was really looking forward to my thriller and we didn't get the thriller.
I still am going to read that thriller. I am going to read that this month.
Me too. What do you got?
So it comes out tomorrow as well because we're still on 10/14. But Reese Witherspoon actually has a book that she's partnered with Harlan Coben, and it's called The Gone Before Goodbye. I seem to really be in like this thriller state recently, which is, as for me, it's very different. But I've definitely been enjoying thrillers, and I really like, I will say, some of the Reese Witherspoon books that are out there. But this one is about a story of a woman trapped in a deadly conspiracy where uncovering the truth could cost her everything. Maggie is teetering on the brink. A highly skilled and renowned Army combat surgeon, she has always lived life on the edge where she could make the most impact, and it was all going to plan until it wasn't. Maggie must become a fugitive herself, or she will be the next one who is gone before goodbye. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. And you know, for me, I read The Women, and it also had that Army, you know, combat surgeon kind of thing. So I'm like, I'm actually really interested in reading this one.
I'm interested to hear about it. Harlan Coben, I have not read from, but I don't think this should be the first one that I try reading from that author. I am intrigued to see how, I think we have a couple books that are coming out this fall that are like pairings, like James Patterson and so-and-so and M. Night Shyamalan is doing something. Yeah, there's a lot of these pairings, which it's interesting. I don't know if they're all for me.
No, I'm definitely interested in trying this one. I've never read anything by Harlan Coben before, but just the fact that, you know, I go off of, you know, the synopsis, summary, however you want to put it, I go off of that. And if it's something that catches my interest, I'm picking it up. I'm trying it.
I like it. And that's why I always have you to tell me whether I should read the books.
Because you're going to have me be a guinea pig.
Yep. Better you than me.
You heard it, guys. Caleb wants me to be the guinea pig.
Yeah, especially with something like that. Because that's a little out of my comfort zone. Just a little bit.
Well, reading is about getting out of your comfort zone. You
No, it's
know
not.
This.
Reading is
yes,
about
it is.
Reading all the things you love over and over again.
All right, fine. Maybe.
All right. My next book, this is going to wrap up 1014. So is another book. And I was a little upset when I got these books because I wanted to crack them open like immediately, especially this one I'm about to talk about here in a second. And then I realized I couldn't get the audiobooks until Tuesday. So I got the books, but I didn't get the audiobook. So tomorrow I will be picking up the audiobook for The Haunting of Payne's Hollow, which
that one looks creepy.
It's definitely going to be. It's a supernatural horror, and I'm going to read the little synopsis. A supernatural horror about a haunted lakeside property and twisted family secrets. So Sam's grandfather passes away, and he leaves her the family lakeside property. Okay, it's got the traditional setup. And then we hear the issue is this property is where her father allegedly murdered a child and when she was younger, and the grandfather always insisted he was innocent. However, Sam is the one who saw him burying the body. So she is convinced he's guilty. He died because he wasn't able to, I think he took his own life. He wasn't able to deal with all the guilt and the, you know, backlash that came from this crime accusation. But so when he passes away, he says, you can have the property, but you have to stay in it for a month, because you need to pay recompense for never believing your dad. So she's going to stay in it. And during the stay, she's going to come face to face with some really dark family secrets and something dark lurking beneath the lake's surface. So
that sounds a little out of my league
for it. And it's short. It's only 260 pages.
Had me at the family secrets thing, because I definitely do like when you're like uncovering, like,
look at that,
the family. That is just creepy. Oh. No, that is a Caleb book.
This is the one I'm excited the most about, because
I can't wait to hear more about it.
Lakeside kind of things, especially like a mystery thriller. Hope. Uh-huh. Here's my hope is this book doesn't pull punches. If it's going to be supernatural, it needs to be supernatural. Don't let it be some Scooby-Doo shit where it's some dude or something. Like, I need real spooky supernatural horror.
Yeah, that is definitely not one that I would pick up. But I did remember reading the synopsis for it. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely going to be a Caleb one. And then I think the next day, you actually was like, hey, here's my book of the month. And I was like, I knew it. I knew you were going to get all three, because I just knew you were going to get them.
Can't wait to talk about the next one.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
All right. On to the next date.
1021. We are just flying through these. So the first one that I will bring up for 1021 is another author that I've never read before. But for some reason, like I said, me and these thrillers, we have a thing. Apparently, there's some really good ones coming out. But this one is John Grisham. He is known as for his legal thrillers, because that's normally what he writes. But this book is called The Widow. And he's back with his first whodunit, which is even more interesting. So even more suspenseful than his courtroom dramas, as a small-time lawyer is accused of murder, races to find the real killer. So, I mean, I'm all for a whodunit. I've never read it in a book before, but I feel like that would be like a pretty sweet adventure just to like uncover that kind of murder mystery kind of thing.
See, this is why we have you and I together. Because
you're like, absolutely not.
Any of that. I love a whodunit. I just talk about a murder mystery, but not... Uh-huh. I don't know how that's going to... You're going to be bored out of your mind. He writes legal dramas. Maybe I'm wrong. And I love that you're trying it. But good luck.
Well, to be determined on a future episode how I did.
Look, I hope you rub it in my face, because you always win all these damn things anyways. But I hope you'd enjoy it. That's why these people write books. I want him to keep writing books. I want him to keep making tons of money and being happy. But not me.
You're like, no, I'm not doing it. Well, I'm going to be the one because apparently I'm the guinea pig for the episode today. So I'm going to give that one a try as well, too. And I'll report back with, you know, not the next podcast, but the one after that to see if I got to it.
I can't wait.
Because we're not going to do it in the next one.
Can't
All wait. Right. I love it. The next one is actually a very, I guess I call it anticipated release for me. So it is Abigail Owen, The Things Gods Break. It is the sequel to The Games Gods Play, which is the book that we read in our book club. I want to say about a year this time.
I think it was November last year.
I feel like it was November last year that we actually read it. But I am just really excited to read it. We remember Lyra's adventure in book one and how it ended off on that banger. And, you know, we were just like waiting, like, well, what's going to happen? Well, I heard that it does indeed pick up right where it left off. And I'm even more excited to see, you know, how this book unfolds. And I actually discovered that it's also a trilogy. So we're going to have yet another book. So I'm even more excited for this series.
I enjoyed it. It was definitely a little spicier than I was expecting. It's definitely not in the realm that I normally read, but I liked the way that the book ended. And
yes,
I was like, book two is going to be better, I think, because we're moving out of that competition kind of thing. And I like a competition, but I get bored of them. So I think this one's going to be good.
I think this one's actually going to be really good. Of course, it's probably going to end on another banger like the first one. There's something about these Red Tower books. They just have that cliffhanger. If there's going to be another book, it's going to end on a cliffhanger and it's going to make you want to buy the next one.
I think we should put it on the poll for maybe December because it comes out October. Let's give people a little bit of time. I don't know. We could maybe put it on for November, but I feel like it'd be cool to have us read the sequel to the book we read the previous year. So I think that'd be fun.
Exactly. That would be awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. So we're going to put that one on the poll too. So far we got three books on November. I mean, we're just wrapping them up.
We got two books and a book you refuse to not put on there.
No, I'm putting the Poppy War on there.
I know.
I heard you. I'm going to put The Things Gods Break. And then I'm going to put Your Red City on there. That's three books.
I know. I'm making fun of your Poppy War.
I want to read the Poppy War.
I do, too. I don't know if I want to read it with the book club, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. We're going to read it. You're going to read it with me.
I am going to read it. Hopefully not next month, but I don't know. Actually, it's not too bad. We'll see. My last book is actually surprisingly from an author I've never read from, and that is Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's son. Yeah.
I didn't know his son wrote, but okay.
He has two kids. First of all, his wife writes as well. She's also an author. And then he has a book that Stephen King released with his other son last year or earlier this year, which I had no interest in. But Joe Hill is actually, he's known for some really good horror, but it's very different from his dad's, which is probably for the best for me. I don't love Stephen King.
Oh,
so this one
I've never read anything by Stephen King before.
Yeah, I've got some. They're not bad. They're not all bad, but they're a lot. And I'm hoping this one won't be. But this one follows Arthur Oakes. He's a student at Rackham College in Maine, of course. I do believe Joe still focuses all his books in Maine, just like his dad.
Okay.
He's convinced to steal rare books from the college library. This sets off a whole chain of events, and he feels trapped and desperate, and he's going to his friends, his closest friends, to help him out, and they decide to summon and free a trapped dragon, which is basically a demon in this case, known as King Sorrow, and they're trying to make him do their bidding, but I think it may end up the other way around. So it sounds like it's going to be part friend story, and definitely some dark-tinged horror. I feel like Joe puts a little bit of, like, dark comedy in his writing.
Okay.
And so I'm really kind of looking forward to this one. And the cover is super cool. It's got a big dragon head on it and the horns and everything. It looks really cool.
Okay, so note to Ashley, do not read Joe Hill.
One of his books is actually called Nosferatu, which is the play on one of the origin stories for vampires. However, okay. it's spelled NOS4A2, which is like a license plate number.
Okay.
And I have a lot of interest in reading that one, but it is thick and mm-hmm. it's hit or miss. And it has an AMC either limited series or movie. So I'm like, do I just watch that or do I actually read the book?
No, you got to read them first. You got to read the books first and then watch it.
If it's anything like his dad, I think Stephen King's films are so much better than his mm-hmm. books. So I'm hoping I enjoy the book and the film in this case.
Mm-hmm. I still want to read Fairy Tale. It has been on my list, but I have yet to pick that one up. But I still want to read Fairy Tale. I've heard that it's not as, I don't want to say gory, but I heard it's not as gory as the other ones. It's supposed to be a little different with the fantasy.
Stephen King isn't explicitly gory. However, I will say he's icky. He writes mm-hmm. some things, some of them, probably all of them, made to make you feel really uncomfortable, but almost uh-huh. in a social kind of way. Not just scary, gross kind of things, but like actually uh-huh. things that you're like, this is depraved and this man is sick. But that's the point.
Well, see, that's like the first time I tried to watch The Stand because I wanted right. I was like, it's a Stephen King show. Let me put it on because I heard so much about how good it was and everything. I said, let me sit back and watch it. And I didn't get past the first like 15 minutes. I don't even think I made it to 10 minutes because I'm like, what am I?
It is number one. It's probably one of the most confusing stories. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest book he's ever written. Okay. And it is. It kind of interconnected all these stories and the premise is really cool. I'm really sad it didn't get a second season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Whoopi Goldberg was in that.
Oh, really?
As one of, I think it's Whoopi Goldberg. I'm pretty sure she's in that series for the Stand. Okay. It was really good, but I can say it's probably not going to be easy for you to get into that. I think there are better places to start.
Yeah, no, I watched if maybe 5-10 minutes and I immediately turned it off because I was like, yeah, nope, not for me.
You're hilarious.
Well, I like the idea that it had, you know, like some biblical kind of like concepts at the beginning. And I was like, okay, you know, this is going to be pretty good. Yeah, I immediately turned it off.
It is. It is a story that is. It's a story that is very biblical in good and evil. Yes, uh-huh. I could go on and on about that one, but let's go ahead on to 1028.
Yeah. I will have to AI the summary and like give me the spoilers and I'll just read the spoilers about how the story goes.
Good luck with that.
All right, on to 1028. Man, we are flying through October. All right, so I have one here by Sue Lynn Tan, and it is called Never Ever After. So this one, just as a quick heads up, but she wrote the Daughter of the Moon Goddess series and also the Celestial Warrior, and I don't remember what the third one was, but these covers are stunning, and they actually do match the way she writes these books. They are lyrical. They are descriptive. It really just is an immersive experience as far as reading these books. And it's even better because it's in a different culture. So for Daughter of the Moon Goddess, that's the one that I did read. And for Daughter of the Moon Goddess, you're going through this story. And I mean, it has that element of like the action-packed, but yet it's like that beautiful, you know, the story of you're following, you know, the young lady and her journey. And I mean, just she talks about like their official like clothing and things like that. I don't want to call them certain things if I don't know their correct term.
No, that's fair.
Their official like clothing and like the way they would dress for some of these ceremonies. And I mean, it was like I could close my eyes and literally see it. It was beautiful. But I definitely do enjoy her writing. So I am very interested, probably not to read it as soon as it comes out, but further down the line, because I want to actually finish the other series. But this one is actually, it is a not all fairy tales end happily ever after. And it's a Cinderella inspired fantasy. So we all know that you know, Cinderella was very much a very happily ever after ending. And we all know how Cinderella went. So I am very interested in reading it. Probably won't rush to read it, but that is one I'm like, I couldn't believe that she was writing another series. So I'm all for it.
I think Emily would like that one. I think she enjoyed Daughter of the Moon Goddess. I bought her the second book. It's yellow. It's gorgeous, but I don't think she read that one yet.
I will definitely buy those books just to have them. I mean, they are stunning. They can just sit on my shelf. I don't even have to open them. They can just sit there.
I love it. Well, you have this beautiful, lyrical book, and then I'm about to hit you with some grotesqueness. So buckle up, people. It's my final.
Let's go.
It's my final October pick for book of the month because they know me. They know me, and they said, hey, what was one of your favorite horror books from last year? And that was Don't Let the Forest In.
I remember that.
Oh, so good. It's YA, and I still gave it like 4.5 stars. I loved it. So C.G. Drews is back with another gorgeous, it's got nature, twisted and grotesque, called Hazelthorn. Uh-huh. And it's another queer, it's got some romance to it, but it focuses so much on the horror elements. And I'm so excited. So it follows Evander. He was taken in as a young child by a reclusive billionaire named Byron Lennox Hall. And he was told he must follow three rules. The first, he can never leave the estate. The second, he can never go into the gardens. And third, he must never be left alone with Byron's charming, underachieving grandson, Lori. But... Byron dies and leaves everything, his wealth, his estate, not to his grandson, but to Evander. Evander believes Byron is murdered, and he's relying on Lori to help him uncover the truth. Drews is such a great author in giving you like this blend of like natural horror, where it uses like trees and like the gardens are clearly going to play a thing in this. And it gives you this nature in this like beautiful way where it's like you can tell nature is just designed to be dangerous. And I love that. You see the thorns wrapped around this one. And there's blood poking the blood. I mean, just so excited. And the back even. I mean, look at the back.
Well, now that's actually pretty cool. I will give the credit for the back. That looks really cool. And then the fact that it has those three rules about not going in the garden, it reminds me, it gives me that Belladonna vibe. Remember I read Belladonna, Foxglove, and I did not finish Wisteria, but I definitely get those vibes with that, with the gothic kind of fantasy. That was good.
Oh, yeah. And Don't Let the Forest In was probably the way that Drews is able to write their books. There's very much in that one, the nightmarish comes to life out of drawings and paintings, and it's kind of blended with this nature in a really grotesque, fun way. So I expect to see a lot of that here, and I'm here for it. This one comes out at the end of the month, so it gives me a couple weeks to finish The Haunting of Payne's Hollow, which I'm going to start tomorrow. So I'm just
you're starting that one.
Halloween.
I know you're
mood.
Ready to start that one.
I am.
Maybe I should read Immortal Dark while you're reading that one.
The Hazelthorn?
Maybe I'll read that. No, I'm going to read Immortal Dark.
The Payne's Hollow.
So while you read your Payne's Hollow, I'm going to pick up Immortal Dark. And I'm going to read that one.
I'm excited.
I am excited.
November, here we come.
November. November 4th is where we will begin.
I'll be in Vegas.
I know, man.
My birthday's the 7th. My dad's birthday's the 3rd. We leave on the 3rd, fly out, and I am going to have the time of my life sitting there reading all my books in the hotel.
That is exciting. You got to go gamble, though, and you got to walk along the strip and stuff.
I do that at night with Emily, but she's gone all day. So I'm just going to be in the room hanging out.
And eating. You got to find the food. You
so
have
much
to
food.
Find the food. Food and books, and you're good. You're perfect. All right. So 11-4, while Caleb is on vacation, I'm going to start it off with Eternal Ruin by Tigger Skirma. So we just recently spoke about Immortal Dark and how I'll be reading that more than likely this week. I did pick it up last year, but again, I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes when we do have these, because I remember saying that I didn't get to finish it. Like, I actually just put it down because I wasn't feeling it. But I am picking it back up this week to be ready for the release on 11/4. And I have been told that, because, you know, I read reviews and things, I have been told from the reviews that this book actually picks up right where book one left off. And I know book one had a really, really big cliffhanger that it left on. So I am really excited to pick that one up and just hopefully coast through both of those. Really excited, you know, vampires. Just in time for Halloween and, you know, all things.
Vampires for the non-horror reader.
Yeah. That's about as dark as it's going to get.
That's fair.
Yes. Let's see. Next, we have also on 11/4. There's a lot of releases on 11/4. The next one I have is by H. Layton Dixon. You know me and names. We're not very good. But this is The Ship of Spells. And I have no idea what this book is about. But again, Entangled seems to be taking over. So Entangled and Red Tower, they're the same publisher necessarily. But we were just talking about how these books are just gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. It just makes you want to grab the book. I mean, it's just blue and gold. And it's something about a cover of a book that's blue and gold. And the pages are also gold. So yes, I'm going off of looks alone on this one. I did find out that it is a romantasy, like most of Red Tower books. But it is a war-scarred mage, a sentient ship, and a secret that could drown empires. So that kind of just looped me in. Because I'm like, okay, it's got some magic and, you know, a secret ship and things. So I'm like, hey, let's give it a try.
I'm a sucker for, like, sentient anything, houses, ships, all of that. So that kind of piqued my interest, but I don't love a romantasy. I know I read them occasionally, but, like, I'm going to let you be the guinea pig and tell me how spicy it is, because I don't want to waste my time with all that spice.
I have been reading some spicy books. They're not smut, but it's spicy.
Damn close.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I'm interested. I'm intrigued. That tagline is pretty good.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, there's no point to even add more to the summary or synopsis. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. That's perfect. That's enough for somebody to want to pick it up and say, what is this? Let alone the cover.
Absolutely. And we'll have, as you probably have already seen, but we'll have all the covers and stuff up here so you can see our pretty books.
Yes. Because that one's gorgeous.
So my book is likely to be gorgeous as well, because I haven't seen the cover, but it's Fallen City by Adrian Young. Mm-hmm. We read an Adrian Young in the book club earlier this year in February, but this one seems really different, definitely more fantasy focused. So it is the great walled city of Izara. Political turmoil ignites a rebellion 100 years in the making. But when a legionnaire falls in love with a magistrate's daughter, their love will threaten the fate of the city and the will of the gods. So, wow.
How did I manage to miss that one?
I don't, went digging deep, because I'm looking at the end of the year going, man, I don't have any books on my radar. Let me update my list. And this one came up and I seen the name and thought, oh, let's get another one of these. But it looks very different from the other novels that she's written in the past, which do have like little tinges of fantasy and magical realism, but this feels really different, and it reminds me a little bit of Our Infinite Fates.
Okay. Well, you know, Adrian Young is one of my go-to authors, like automatic buy authors for me was Adrian Young. The first book I read by her was The Unmaking of June Farrow, and that immediately just like completely sold me. And then we had, you know, like The Spells for Forgetting, and I still have A Sea of Unspoken Things. So she is definitely an auto read author for me.
I'll probably read that one with you. Some early indications as to how this is going before I rush out and get it. But I know our readers, our listeners are going to be excited for this one. So I wanted to put it on their radar.
I actually just marked it on my Goodreads to read because somehow you snuck that one in there. And yeah, she is one of my auto reads. All right. So this one is Cursed Daughters by Oyinka Braithwaite. I want to say
I think you did. I think you did good.
Okay. I was like, whew. She actually wrote a previous book was, yeah, I didn't put that in there. My Sister, the Serial Killer, I believe is the book that she wrote. And just reading the synopsis of this one, the cover, I'm sorry, everyone knows they're going to just know me as the cover lady. If it's the cover, it's going to just take me and just whisk me away.
Ashley judges a book by its cover.
Absolutely. If it's gorgeous, I'm grabbing it. But this one really just grabbed my attention. It's actually a family drama that spans generations. And we all know that I am all about books of like generational trauma or, you know, drama, anything like that. I definitely do like books that uncover those kind of secrets. For this one, for a bit of the summary that I took, it's a young woman must shake off a family curse. And the widely held belief that she is the reincarnation of her dead cousin in this wickedly funny, brilliantly perceptive novel about love, female rivalry, and superstition. The one rule that these families have to stick with is that no man will call your house his home. And if they try, they will not have peace.
Wow.
Right?
That does sound really cool. I can't wait to peep this cover because I haven't seen it yet, but that sounds very different than I expected. This seems like it's got like a dark comedy kind of feel to it. That sounds really cool.
And I didn't read her other book, My Sister, the Serial Killer, but I have I've heard great things about her books and I'm all for it.
Okay. Well, let's put that on the radar. I'm going to let you peek at it, but that sounds like something I might end up interested in. Yes, you're the guinea pig. All right, let's finish out this date. 11/4, we're still there. Still November 4th, everybody.
Still November.
Which I think, by the way, in Ohio is election day, so I hope you were voting. But that's my plug. My next book is surprising, and it's going to be even more surprising that it's on my list because I've never read from this author. Emily's read. She's a very popular author, and that is Marissa Meyer with The House Saffer, which I was like, am I interested? So I clicked on the link. It had me this. From a long line of witches, Mallory Fontaine only has the magical ability to see ghosts. And with her sister, Mallory sells bogus spells to gullible buyers and gives tours about the bloody history of the Saffer Mansion. However, she meets the heir of the Saffer Estate, and he offers a vast sum of money to rid the mansion of ghosts. What seems like an easy scam becomes much more treacherous when people begin dying at the mansion.
Oh.
It's like a locked room kind of murder mystery with ghosts and stuff. It sounds like it's going to be fun. I know Marissa Meyer has done some other books that definitely don't sound like they're in this realm, but I do want to check this one out.
This book actually sounds like it needs to be an October release. So maybe they just might have missed that October.
It kind of has that funny, cozy kind of vibe. And I think a lot of those things lend themselves well to just that late fall. So I think it'll be all right in November. It's early.
But with the witches and things, you know, I think that's more of like an October thing for me.
November is witchy time, too. It's only 4 days after Halloween.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, it could be. I won't be reading anything past then. So as soon as October hits, you know, the end of October, Halloween, it's done. I'm gone.
I think you, I don't know. This might be one
other stuff
that you dig. You never know.
I might. I'll be your guinea pig. It sounds like it would be pretty cool. But yeah, it's about time for you to be a guinea pig on something. So you'll be the guinea pig on that one.
I'm the scare meter and to figure out how scary something is.
Exactly.
Finally, we're on to a different day.
Oh my!
November 4th
yes,
is in the past. Now it's November 11th, and I'm going to own this date because there are two books coming out, both of which I'm really excited about. Did you read Legends and Lattes?
No.
I didn't think so. I think
it looked too cozy.
It is. It is cozy. It is no stakes, but there's a little bit of fantasy fun stuff in it. But it's not, there's a lot of time spent figuring out adding new items to the coffee shop menu and different things like that. It is very cozy. But the sequel, so there was a second book that came out, which was actually a prequel, but this is a true sequel. And it is going to follow Fern, a traveling bookseller who decides to settle down in the city of Thune, right next to a very familiar coffee shop. So, as it says, however, leaving her past behind will likely turn out harder than she originally thought. The books are super cute. And now you've got an element of a bookseller instead of a coffee shop. And it's going to be fun. I think so the first story to the other one is Viv is her name, I think. And she's an orc. And she left that behind so that she could open up a coffee shop and kind of have a settled down life. And something comes back from her past and makes a little bit of ruckus in her new life. But it's pretty low stakes. It's a lot of fun to kind of live in this really cool medieval style fantasy world with orcs and succubi and all the fun stuff. So we got Fern, which from the cover looks like a, I don't know, like a squirrel rat kind of person. I don't know. Looks really cute.
Some kind of creature.
Some kind of creature. But the first book kicked off cozy fantasy as a genre. Like, it always existed, but like the idea of something that where you don't have to invest in some huge 13 book tome Brandon Sanderson style of fantasy was really cool. Legend of the Lost Days was really fun. I've read a couple other cozy fantasies that have a little bit of romance and a little bit of action. And so I'm really looking forward to this one. And then, speaking of tomes and series, my last book for the date is one that you've heard me talk 1,000 times about because I'm currently reading it as an arc, and that is The Strength of the Few, which is the second book in the Hierarchy book series by James Islington. Somebody called him Islington the other day, and I refuse to believe that's how it's said. I'm pretty sure it's Islington. If I'm wrong, get down there and somebody correct me. I can't be, I'm the one that's supposed to be good with names.
How far did you get?
I am a good chunk. I'm 400 pages in. This is the bottom.
So you're doing good.
A little over half.
Okay. So temperature check on it. Is it feeling like first book or?
So the first book had like a singular focus. Mm-hmm. The second book kind of takes that focus. So we're out of the academy, the school competition setting. We talked about that earlier with the Games Gods Play. So now you have a different focus, but there are these different worlds or timelines or whatever you want to call them, in which case we keep jumping back and forth. And what I really liked about the first book was he took like a Roman Greek inspired culture and everything is focused around it. Well, in the second book, you get these two other cultures that you can clearly tell one. I mean, he uses these symbols to give you which world you're in. Okay. The first one is the columns for the Greek culture. The second one is a Egyptian ankh, you know, the looks like a little ribbon. So it's there's pyramids. And I mean, you can actually see on the cover, there's a big pyramid and very Egyptian inspired. And then the last one is a triple swirl, which I believe is Celtic in nature. It's really cool to see the different cultures, the names, which I promise you, I am murdering every name.
Oh, I know you are.
They're hard. There's one in the Celtic world, though, I love reading because you can tell his name is Fergus, and there's no way to not say it like that. Yeah, you could say like Fergus. No, his name is Fergus. So I'm enjoying it. It is taking a bit of time. I did ask Katie for an extension.
Okay.
But we got plenty of time. 11-11 several weeks away. So I'll have it done this week. And I'm super excited to get some answers. I haven't gotten too many answers. I got a lot more questions, which is pretty typical for a book too, but I'm hype. I'm very excited.
Now, this one actually is not on my Kindle yet, and I thought that I did put it on there. So I'm going to have to go ahead and purchase this one and put it on my Kindle because I didn't know that the second book had, you know, like some more different stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I have seen this book everywhere. And I think I'm like mass sending you all the stuff for it because I'm seeing it everywhere.
It ends up on, so there's this trend going around right now, which I've been hopping on the bandwagon of, which is six-star reads. And I thought it was really funny because you have been saying six-star reads, and then all of a sudden it was everywhere.
Oh, that's so great.
Will of the Many is my, six-star read because...
We're going to have to do a little like snippet of a something about six-star reads because I have a handful.
It's so good. I do, too.
I have a handful.
A lot of them are from this year, which is crazy.
Uh-huh.
So
I don't think, I've had one six-star, I want to say, this year, but most of them were last year for me.
Oh, you had two this year.
But yeah, Atmosphere and Barrier Bones. Yep. So I had two this year, and then last year I had Reformatory and the Women, so I had four.
Those and the Women was right at the end of the year, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh, I can pick that book up and read it again. I don't remember, but I absolutely just devoured that book. I loved it. I felt all the emotions.
Ah,
no tears.
Six-star reads. There's the something else. No tears. Yeah,
something
that's true.
Something about a six-star book.
You're hilarious.
Yes. All right. So 11-18. So honorable mention here. Callie Hart, Brimstone, which is part two of Quicksilver. Now, I tried it. And it just was not an Ashley book. I am sorry. I know this is one of the absolute most buzziest books in the romanticy world right now. Kingfisher just wasn't for me.
That's fair.
Just wasn't for me.
Emily, I think she picked it up and put it down, but I think she's softying and effing it. She's going to go back, I think. Mm-hmm. So she'll be our
guinea
pig.
Maybe I'll go back, but I mean, I was kind of just, hate to say it, but I was a little bored.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was just kind of a little bored. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. But again, you know, my books are very different. I think I was just over the nature of that one, but it is definitely very buzzy. It is a huge release that everyone everywhere is just all about. The next book that I have is by Ayanna Gray. And I actually did not realize it, but Ayanna Gray, I've never read anything from her before, but this one is called I, Medusa. And ever since I watched, don't laugh at me, ever since I watched Percy, the Disney Channel, it was the Percy remake, I have just been all about Greek mythology. Okay. Like I said, don't laugh at me. It wasn't
everybody
something
that has
ever...
their. Guys have the Roman Empire and women have Greek mythology. It's just how it works.
It was just something that never really appealed to me and it was never of any interest, but definitely Medusa was one of the iconic characters necessarily in Percy. So I'm really interested in reading this one. It is all about Medusa, obviously. The quick summary that I have in here is that her locks transformed into snakes as a punishment for a crime she did not commit. Medusa must embrace a new identity, not as a victim, but as a vigilante. And with that, the chance to write her own story as a mortal, martyr, and myth. Exploding with rage, heartbreak, and love, Medusa portrays a young woman caught in the cross currents between her heart's deepest desires and the cruel, careless games of the Olympian. That the Olympian gods play.
Wow.
I do have the arc for this one.
The games gods play at the end of that, but...
I know, right?
It is very... the book is like a black spin on Medusa, which is pretty cool.
Exactly. So I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. I got to give this one a try. I don't know too much about Ayanna Gray. I don't even know any other books that she necessarily wrote, but I am just, oh yeah, that's why. Okay. I just did a quick search. She actually wrote The Beast of Ruin, The Beast of Prey.
Prey. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why her name was familiar. I couldn't necessarily tie the two. I didn't even realize that was her. So yeah, I'm even more intrigued to read it. I'm excited now.
Sounds interesting. It sounds like an Ashley book for sure.
Absolutely. I'm going to eat it up. Well, this one we have 11/20. I can't believe we are already at the end of November. But Fallen Gods, which is a Dark Academia Red Tower book, is by Rachel Van Dyken. And this one is, again, it's a cover for me, because we know, you know, sorry, guys, I'm all about the cover. This one, like I said, is by Red Tower. It's the legends of the past are never truly dead and buried. Liv Olsen has been drawn to Norse mythology her entire life. After earning her degree and working as a curator at one of New York's most prestigious museums, she gets an unexpected offer for her dream job in Norway, the same place her brother disappeared months ago, after a cryptic message about finding their long-lost father. She finds herself surrounded by superstitious townspeople who refuse to even look at the water.
Okay. That's dark.
See, I got good books.
That one, I mean, you're all in your mythology era. You got Norse mythology, Greek mythology.
Right?
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's just something about it. As thrillers in mythology and like the family generational stuff is a thing for me right now. Those are the books that I'm picking up.
I think there's a book that you would dig and it would be great for you to read this month because it is horror kind of. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Delicious Monsters. And
oh, I started that one.
Did mm-hmm. you?
Yeah.
It's like a twin story. And I picked it up when I was working at the greenhouse and I read it and I think I had a good time. I don't think I like raved about it. I think it is YA, but I think you dig that one. And it kind of has these vibes that I'm getting from that. There's like a little town. The town really doesn't like these characters. They're kind of outcast in a way. And I'm just getting real good comparison there. So if you like that one, check that one out.
And you know, I actually did put this on my list for October, Delicious Monsters. But you know, with all the books that I have, I can't read all of these books. But that was one of the books that I did set aside for October. But I don't know, I might have to pick it back up because you just said something about it. Something's not going to get read this month.
That's okay. You got time. Essay, it kind of has like a Essay Cosby Southern feel to it. It's dark and gritty. The writing's not Essay Cosby level. Don't take it there. But that story of family and the twins and I think you really like it. I want you to pick that up. If you don't get it to in October, it's okay. I think it's still okay in November. It's got the dark vibes, but I think you'd really like that one.
I'm going to have to check that one out because it is indeed on my Kindle and I keep picking it up and putting it back down. Because I was like, this feels more of like a spooky, an Ashley spooky.
Yes,
an Ashley spooky, because you know, my spooky is definitely not a Caleb spooky, but I did put it on there. So I might actually, we'll see. I might have to move some things around.
If I said you can only read one of Caleb's books, I still want you to read The Weight of Blood. I so want you to read that book. But this is a good comp as well.
You know what? With Delicious Monsters, I know we're like, we're not spiraling, but we kind of are.
We're
with
getting tangential.
This one, I'm sorry, but I need to check. Because Daisy Sees Dead People. I think I actually got pretty far into this one. There was a book that I recently read because, you know, once you kind of read the same feel, they kind of start to go together. But I don't think it was this one. But there was a book that I read that had that similar vibe. But it was where she had the gift of like seeing and asking ancestors necessarily to help others. But I don't think that's this one.
It wasn't The Reformatory?
Mm-mm. No, this is different. Because there's one, you know, this is different. Now I got to figure out what the book was that I was reading. But there was one that had a very Southern feel to it as well, which was very similar. But the main character in this book, she had a gift where she could necessarily hold these ceremonies and ask different ancestors. People would come to her, like one girl needed like her husband to love her or something. But at the cost of loving her, I think it was like nobody would love her.
Hmm.
I'm going to have to look that up and bring it to you because that one, if you like Delicious Monsters, I really think you would like that book with the feel of how that went. I will definitely send that one to you.
Okay.
Sorry, perfect. I went on a tangent.
It's okay. We only had one. We're getting better.
We are getting better.
There's a bunch of books that are recommended similar to Delicious Monsters. One is called Tender Beasts. That looks really good. Blood Like Magic. That looks really good. A Mastery of Monsters. That looks really good. So very interesting.
The book that I was talking about was The Monsters We Defy.
Oh, I did see that in the past. Okay. Let me add that to my
list. That was the book. The Monsters
Is it
We Defy.
YA?
It's by Leslie Penelope. I don't think it's YA, but you know, a lot of the books that I read are, and I don't see young YA on this one.
No.
It is like a historical fiction, but it's an African-American fiction. It's not, I'll put it this way, it is not an Ashley historical fiction.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like it. It's got those vibes. I see African-American folk magic, history, and romance. So interesting. All right. Well, we tangented, but that's okay. We're going to finish out strong. We got through October and November. And while those definitely felt very fall-like, this December is technically still fall, at least for the first two-thirds of the month. But I've only got a couple of books on here. And I know you didn't find any that were on your radar. So I'm going to capitalize December here. But the first one is Snake Eater by T. Kingfisher. So December month, still a pretty dark book. And in this one, T. Kingfisher, as you know, I love T. Kingfisher's fantasy. Her fairy tale retellings are just so good. But horror and me don't get along with her. She writes like witty, funny characters, and they just don't work with the tension you're supposed to build in horror. So we'll see how this goes. It says, in an isolated desert town, a young woman seeking a fresh start is confronted by ancient gods, malevolent supernatural forces, and eccentric neighbors. See what I mean? She hits you with the humor at the end, and you're like, am I gonna like this? But it's described as a witty, horror-tinged fantasy. Obviously makes me a little nervous. However, I read a review by somebody, and she said she received an art copy, and she said there's little resemblance to anything that could be considered horror. And in fact, the book is much more cozy. And she goes on to say, basically, imagine a T.J. Klune novel, but without the romance, and you'll have a pretty good idea of what to expect from this one. Shout out to Jamie on Goodreads, and I'll link below because I paraphrased the review. T.J. Klune is one of my favorite queer authors ever. And, you know, House of the Cerulean Sea, and what was the one that? In the Lives of Puppets, and those are some of my favorite books, and they have like humor in them and other light cozy stuff. So if I can get that mindset about it, I think I could really enjoy Snake Eater.
You might like it. I say give it a try.
I'm going to give it a try because I have had much better luck with the fantasy style of T. Kingfisher. Last but certainly not least, how could I ever go an episode without mentioning Brandon Sanderson's name? Can't.
You just can't.
12/9, December 9th, Tailored Reality by Brandon Sanderson comes out. And I mean, two Brandon Sanderson books releasing in the same year. I'm pretty excited. However, this one is a collection of short stories, 9 short stories to be exact. And they exist in his Skyward universe and The Reckoners. I've not read either of those series. They exist outside of the Cosmere, which is their main Mistborn and Stormlight and all that stuff. So I'm excited to be introduced to these worlds. And I feel like a short story collection might be the place to start, even though I don't normally like a short story collection. But it's Sanderson. I should.
You know, I'm looking at that one. This is one that I did actually send to you because I saw it on Audible and I had sent it to you and it was like, no, this is not the same thing. And I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not it's not in the Cosmere. So I wasn't super interested. Skyward is like a YA space kind of drama. And I don't know if I want to read that. But the Reckoner series is on my radar. And actually, I think that one might be one that I'm looking forward to reading with my son over the next couple of years as he moves into that middle grade young adult area. So I do want to check those out. So it'd be cool to see how the world exists.
That's the Steelheart one, the Reckoners.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually just pulled it up. So I do remember seeing this one as well, too. It's the Steelheart, the Firefight, and the Calamity. And they have really, really good ratings on them.
And I think they're all YA or maybe even middle grade, but they're definitely for younger audiences. And so I'm interested to see. I think his writing is really, he has the ability to be really funny and fun. And I think that would be really good while building. I mean, it's Sanderson. His worlds are just so cool. So I'm interested.
Yeah, this says 12 to 15. So that's right. That's right there. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's all we have. I mean, the next 3 months, we talked about a lot of books, but I think we got some really good ones. I mean, I'm about to knock out like 3 or 4 this month because I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am actually really excited to, you know, see which one of these books that I do indeed pick up. Definitely, I know Cursed Daughters. I'm picking that one up for sure.
Awesome.
And I mentioned a whole bunch of other ones. Fallen Gods, I, Medusa, I Can Go Back. There are a lot that I'm actually going to pick up.
Yeah, we started talking about this episode before we went live, and I'm like, worried, am I talking too much? But we were pretty even.
I think we ended up doing pretty good. And I had more than I thought that I had because, you know, I just kind of go with the flow. You know, usually my books are like way far back TBR that I'm working on. And like the newer stuff is, you know, newer. But I have definitely started mixing some things up. Some of my bookish friends and things, you know, ladies that I have, I kind of will buddy read books with them as I buddy read books with you. So it's kind of expanding me out of my comfort zone a little bit.
That's cool. So cool. That's what I love about doing this. It kind of, even though I said we just read the same thing over and over, the things that we love, it does broaden our horizons because we're just more knowledgeable about what's out there. We're staying, keeping our fingers to the pulse or whatever they say. And I've actually read more new releases this year than I've ever read. For a while, I don't think I read a backlisted book.
I agree. It's definitely been a mix for me, but more so a lot of the newer things. I would have never picked up the Autumn Leaf Bookshop before prior to, you know, being in some of the groups and things that I am in. And I tell you, that has got to be one of my favorite reads this year just because of how magical it was. It didn't even have like an element of mystery to it. It was just like a legit cozy romance in a small town. And I loved it. I think I told you it was like a modern day Halloween Town.
Yeah, I'm going to take a moment because Ashley said one of my trigger words, which last year she would have said, I don't like cozy.
Yes, I said, I don't do cozy.
Tell me I didn't say this. You just haven't found your cozy yet.
That is true because I did find my cozy. I like the cozy fantasy books. Mystery, no. I haven't really got to the cozy mystery, but I do like the fantasy type of books where they have, you know, the magical realism. The Water Moon was one for me. That was a really cozy book. I'm telling you, I could sit in a corner somewhere with that book and just be bundled and just jump in and get lost. You still haven't read it yet, though.
I am planning to read it before year's end.
Okay.
Because number one, I feel like December when it's cold outside is just going to call to me. Yeah. And as I learned recently with Buffalo Hunter, trust when you're not ready for a book, read it when you are. And
absolutely.
I'm going to murder her last name is like Soto Yambao. And she has a book coming out, another book that looks very similar to Water Moon with the purpley pink blue. Looks really cute. So I'll have to send you that one there. So that might be something.
I didn't know she was coming out with releases. Another one.
Oh, yeah, I think it's right at the beginning of the year.
And here I am going to Goodreads. I'm going to check it out.
Well, before we get too far into that, we probably should talk about a couple of updates with the book club and the podcast. If you want to talk about our book club announcement, I know this is coming out towards the end of the month, but there's still time to join and read with us on Who Needs Reads. So I'll let you take it away.
Absolutely. This month, for the month of October, Who Needs Reads Book Club is currently reading Wayward by Amelia Hart.
I almost said
it the wrong way again. This book, we actually did put up a poll, and Caleb and I both voted for a completely different book because we wanted a thriller. We had talked about it. We discussed it. We said, we're going to do a thriller. We're going to put it on there. And surprisingly, Wayward won. We are reading it. Caleb is rereading it. But this one, the tagline is, I am a wayward and I am wild inside. It has three generations of witches. There's a modern day 2019, which I believe is an abusive relationship.
Yep.
With the young lady. You have 1619 Alpha.
Yep.
I'm probably getting that wrong. Is actually waiting trial for the murder of a local farmer who was stampeded to death by his herd. Her mother taught her their magic, a kind not rooted in spellcasting, but in deep knowledge of the natural world. And in 1942, we have Violet, which is during World War II, and she is trapped in her family's grand crumbling estate. Very strict family that I do remember from me starting to read Violet's story. And her mother actually passed away, so she's currently living with her father. So very interesting family, generational witches, three of them.
It's got a cozy vibe to it, though those things are dark. It shows the power. I mean, this is one of my favorite things to talk about, the power of women when they come together, and family is so important to women in general. And watching that bloodline and the power that's within, I mean, the abusive relationship during the war, and she's hiding out in this place. And then, of course, during the witch, you know, the witch trials and that whole hysteria time, watching how even in the face of like drama and trauma, they rely on their past. They rely on the natural world. They rely on the magic that they know they have. It is a good book. It is slow. And it's not a book you can just like rush through. Take your time and like ingest it. Enjoy the three generations. I don't think the characters are like particularly jumping off the page. But it's a good story.
And it's very funny that the book club actually picked this one, because I remember us discussing it. I was so excited October 1st. I was like, yes, it's October. It's my spooky, cozy witch season, you know, magical read. And that was the very first book that I picked up. And then when I realized that book club, I didn't go back yet to see what it was. And I saw it was Wayward. I was like, oh, well, I can't read it that soon. So I put it down and I haven't picked it back up yet.
Four thrillers and one cozy witch book. And
that's what won.
I think every book got at least one vote. But so a lot more interactivity with the book club, which we love. But I did not expect Wayward to win. And I was like, you know, win. If it wins, that's fine. I've already read it, so I can get through it.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe I'll go back and I'll enjoy it more the second time.
I just knew we were reading the Karen Slaughter one. I just knew it.
Me
I just
too. Knew it. We'll have to get to
the audio for that one and listen to it.
Our last update is just a little one, a little teaser for the next episode. So this episode comes out on the 17th. And then the next episode comes out on Halloween, everybody.
This is Halloween.
Thanks, Jack. Halloween, and this is my time, okay? This is the Caleb spooky season. So I'm excited, and I roped Ashley into doing a dark Halloween episode where we talk about witches, books, and werewolves, and vampires, and all the fun stuff that October comes with. So we're going to have a little bit of reviews, some recommendations, some lists. We'll have something fun and dark and spooky like Caleb.
But they won't be all dark and spooky like Caleb, because Ashley is not dark and spooky.
Whatever.
So you'll have some Ashley spooky reads in there.
Everybody knows spooky season, you throw away all your inhibitions and you read spooky books, even if they scare you.
Nope. The scariest book that I've ever read was Hidden Pictures, and I haven't picked up a horror since that one. It was a great book, but I haven't picked up another one since that.
I love it. I'm excited for it, as you can tell. So we'll start working on that one here. This episode is done. We reached the end.
My goodness. Time flies when you're having fun.
We thought this was going to be a shorter episode, guys. It's not.
No, we made it.
It's a lot of fun. So we're going to get you guys back to that. If you have any of these on your list, or if you have other books on your list, please drop a comment below. Hit us up on socials, whatever the case may be. And let us know what else is out there, because we need more books on our list.
Clearly. I mean, we're going into a new year already. We got to start 2026.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to sign off, and I'm going to let Ashley do the honors as always.
Happy reading.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.